around, but you don't stay. You take a chance, and I lose your pain. You move on down, you start to sway.
Who are you?
No, I'm sorry. I'm Gary. I'm the drummer from the Libertines.
Gary, who else is in the Libertines?
I'm Gary. I'm the drummer from the Libertines.
Gary, who else is in the Libertines?
Me. There's John Hassell, the bass player in the Libertines. He's a really good bass player. Peter Doherty, unfortunately not here right now because he's on a trip. And Carl Barra, who's like doing the lead singer thing. And Anthony Rossimondo, who stepped in for us, who's a good buddy of ours.
Now, you forgot to mention another person, Ill Bill. Where's Ill Bill, and who is Ill Bill?
Ill Bill? Ill Bill? I don't even remember who Ill Bill is myself. Should I know?
I thought Ill Bill was some stuffed guy that was up on stage in some early Libertines gigs.
Oh, Christ on a bike. Ill Bill. He got fired.
What was the role of Ill Bill? He was a stuffed guy. How could a stuffed guy get fired?
His job was to get in the way, and he got in the way sufficiently until we had to kick him out of the band. Out, we said. Get out and leave us be.
And you are Gary of the Libertines. The Libertines from
London, England.
From London, England. But are you American? I've heard you're American.
I was born there, but I'm not. Come on, I left there when I was a kid. And I've lived all my life in England, so that makes me English.
But still, you were born there. And plus Andy, your fill-in guitarist, is American too, isn't he?
Andy, you mean Anthony?
Anthony.
Get it right, geezer, why?
Okay, well, I'm pretty close.
Anthony is from Boston.
So you have two-fourths, half of the band is American, basically.
God, if we're going to be pedantic about it, yes, I concede. You're right. I'm wrong. I'm not English, even though I've got an English passport, I'm English.
But you do have some Canadian connections, Gary. You have some relatives in Toronto that you'd like to out.
Yeah, my uncle and aunt have just moved to Atlanta. They used to live in Moulton, Mississauga. And then they moved to London, Ontario, but now they live in Atlanta. And my older brother, he lives in Weston. And he should have come to the show last year in, when did we play? Toronto at the Opera House. And we're playing there again, actually, so he can make it this time. But him being him, my older Canadian brother, when we actually made it to Toronto, I called him up to say, we're at the show, come hang out before the show, we'll go get some food, we'll hang out, we'll catch up on some good times and all that type of stuff. I got a call from him a day later saying, are you still at the show? Hey, are you guys still here? And I was like, no, we've just gone. We're in Montreal now. And he's like, well, I thought you'd be here for like 2 days and stuff. And I said, you retard.
Gary, we have another member of your band joining us. Could you please explain who has arrived?
Peter Gunn.
No,
that is an amazing name too, isn't it, Peter Gunn?
I know, it's an amazing name.
For a road manager.
It's a bit silly if you ask me, but oh well, you get what you get.
But aside from Peter, we also have...
Carl.
Carl, could you please come over? Welcome to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Pleasure.
I was just asking your bandmate about Ill Bill. Who was Ill Bill, and why did he get fired from the band?
I never met Ill Bill. Ill Bill was a badger. He was fired because he was dead.
He was like a stuffed badger, wasn't he?
He was. I think John's granddad shot him in the colonial days.
And who do we have arriving right now?
Anthony Rossimondo.
Would he like to come over?
I guess so.
Hey, Anthony.
Hey, Anthony, huh? Hey.
The American compatriot.
Yeah, he's an American cousin. He's from New England.
Yes.
Insulted him a little bit, huh?
We got New England. He's got British. British
Anthony.
Yes.
So you're American, aren't you?
Yeah, dude.
And Gary is American too, isn't he?
God, well, he's what they would call a half septic.
Yes. Yeah.
So he's, you know,
he's half septic. Possible. He's young.
I've just told him
American
that.
American, get that shit out.
Give me mine.
Yeah, I'll try this one.
That looks okay. Doesn't quite fit properly. But I guess I was thinking, are you an international band now? Are you guys an international band? I mean, you're half American. What do you think about that?
I'm not half American. I don't think anything about that.
American either. I'm English. I got an English passport. I keep on telling you, for the love of God, I'm baby Jesus.
But there are two people from the band that are born right now in America.
He wasn't born in America. Who's everyone?
He wasn't born in America.
Who's everyone?
I was.
You just said you're from Boston.
Yeah, I was.
You were born in Sydney.
Yeah, yeah, Boston.
That hat is making you lie. I think we better just like.
Give me the truth hat.
I think yes. Now, where were you born? The truth hat.
Born in
Oregon. Now you're gonna show my bald spot.
What bald spot?
Oh, thank you. I don't have it. Now we can continue on. Damn. So we are here with the Liber.
Teens.
The Libertines in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Now, welcome to Vancouver. It's pretty exciting because do you know, Carl, that The Clash began their very first North American tour right here in?
Vancouver.
In Vancouver at the Commodore Ballroom. And you guys are beginning your tour right here.
Hmm.
And another Canadian connection, Gary's relatives.
Live in Western Ontario.
Hey, I'm under to Vancouver.
Yeah, there you go. Talk to him.
Talk to me.
You have relatives in Vancouver.
Yeah, they left.
They were actually here. There was a Canadian connection.
They lived on West 12th Street. I'm going to go and take photos of the house and send them back home.
No way. How long did he live here?
10 years.
Was that your parents? Who was that?
Yeah, it was my dad.
So were you here living with them?
No, I didn't have that pleasure.
Did you ever come and visit?
No, I wasn't born.
What did they tell you about West 12th Street?
They said they're going to take photos of it. Well, that's what I know.
That's amazing. A total live. Because I always ask bands about connections to Vancouver. Oh. And here's like West 12th throwing in there.
I might be able to get a passport. What do you reckon?
You might be able to if they were born here.
Shit. Oh.
On the new album, there are some liner notes that say, ask Mick Jones. And Mick Jones, having played in The Clash, having played in Vancouver, what did you ask Mick about? Did he tell you anything about playing Vancouver?
No, they asked me what some lyrics were, but Mick wrote some lyrics. So I said, what are the lyrics? And he didn't mention Vancouver. But I'm sure he does Vancouver.
But what did he mention, though? Like, what did he mention? I mean, you have Mick Jones in the studio. Like, don't you think, Anthony, that they should have asked Mick Jones a few more questions?
No, maybe they asked him a lot of questions. They just don't want to reveal the answers.
But what if they told you that they've asked him?
Don't say a word, man. Don't do it.
Well, they asked him if it was all right if Gary kept wearing the Snoopy sweatshirt, and he said that was cool. He said Snoopy sweatshirt.
Rah, what do you think about that, Carl? Having Mick Jones like right there by the mixing board. Did he reveal any tour secrets to you guys? Because I'm thinking like this is Mick Jones of The Clash. This must be kind of neat.
He told us a few. What do you want to know?
Well, just anything specific, like about his American tours, the early days, maybe the interaction with the Sex Pistols, interaction with the Jam, you know?
I think, I mean, when you're talking about a band like the Sex Pistols or the Jam, I don't think specifics are really their forte. But,
I was there one time when I did that thing at that place.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada here, Carl, you are playing tonight at Richards on Richards, but you know who's also playing tonight? Could you just move a tiny bit over? Is it okay if you guys just get a bit more together? Thank you. Get a bit more together. Not tight, because you are very tight. It's the first day of the tour. You're going to be very tight. But do you realize, Carl, who's playing tonight, also in Vancouver, who you guys are up against?
Susie and the Banshees and Norah Jones.
Yes, exactly.
Whoa.
Is that the competition? Have you ever played up against Susie Sue or Norah Jones before?
No, man, I think you're being more of a competition than any of the other two.
I met Susie Sue once.
What was that like?
Brief.
Are there any like crossover between Libertines fans and Susie Sue fans?
I don't know. Well, probably not tonight.
Well, you have to ask them.
No, I mean, looking in the audience, could you tell a Libertines fan versus a Susie Sue fan?
They won't be here tonight, would they? They'll be
the Susie Sue fan. In the Banshees. If they're here, then they'll be Libertines fans.
Who's in the Banshees on?
I don't know.
You might be able to catch it. It'll probably on about the same time as you, I'm just guessing.
Okay.
And you guys are the Libertines, and you're here in Canada, and another Canadian connection, aside from West 12th Avenue, that's incredible. I mean, I take my cam off to you for that there, Carl. That is just incredible. I just can't believe all that connection. But the Hidden Cameras, a Canadian band, are on Rough Trade. What has the Hidden Cameras taught you about Canada? They have very interesting lyrics. What have they taught you about Canada? What have you learned about Canada through the Hidden Cameras, Carl?
I don't know. I'd like to bestow that upon Gary.
Anthony?
I've been thrown out of your country a couple times.
There you go.
Well, you're in here now.
Yes.
Why was that? Why were you thrown out?
Hidden cameras attendant. Yeah.
Because they had actual hidden cameras that caught me in the act.
Carl, you are from...
I've got to go and take these photos I was in about.
Oh, this winding up here, I was going to say...
Where's Stanley Park?
It's just like way over there, but don't run quite yet. I want to ask you about Boringstock.
Oh, right.
You're from Boringstock, aren't you? Basingstoke, Boring Town.
Oh, I thought you were referring to my family then. It's from Boringstoke. Yeah, Basingstoke, yes. Do you know it?
Yes, I was wondering about that because it's an interesting place. There's some interesting people there, like Jane Austen, Liz Hurley are from there.
Oh, yeah.
Those are some cool girls.
And Sarah Ferguson.
And who else?
Sarah Ferguson. But yeah, we won't mention that.
Well, yeah. So is it really Boringstoke?
And Tanita Tickerham. Yeah, it's dire. That's why the best Basingstokian left Basingstoke.
And I also have another quick theory for you before you depart there, Carl. And I wanted to ask you a bit here, and this is a little theory that I'm working on. Right here, we have the Nuggets box set. And if we open up the Nuggets box set, there is a connection here that you guys have to... If you could hold that open, Gary, please, that'd be really appreciated. Right here, we have a picture of... Which band is that? The Master...
Oh, the Master Apprentices.
The Master Apprentices, who share co-writing, songwriting honors on the second track of yours on Last Post on the Bugle. How did you end up sharing co-writing honors with the Master Apprentices? How did that happen from the Nuggets 2 box set?
Very kindly contributed some lyrics without realizing to one of our songs. It was a sort of a nod of respect, really. Hats off.
Because it was like a Canadian connection there, well, that I bought Nuggets. And I was also thinking, does that show the garage content of the Libertines?
I guess it shows some kind of form of eclecticism, possibly.
The garage content.
Well, because you have been spotted before at the Dirty Water Club.
Huh?
The Dirty Water Club. Have you heard of the Dirty Water Club in England? Where you were checking out the garage rock and Black Madonnas.
Oh, it's a possibility. Oh, is that that sounds like one of McCluskey's ventures. Maybe.
Because I heard you checked out the Black Madonnas, who are kind of a garage rocking band. You guys kind of appropriated to Master, shared.
Doffed our caps to.
Yeah, doffed your caps to the Master's Apprentices. And then you have a night called, like, the Pretty Thing Night, which is kind of in honor of the Pretty Things, isn't it?
Dirty Pretty Thing, yeah, that's them. Well, I wouldn't say it's in honor of them, really. It's in honor of Dirty Pretty Things everywhere. But, yeah.
Because I was thinking, like, are you part of that garage revival, sort of, i.e., you know, Billy Childish to head? Because you had the Buff Medways play with you.
Well, we've got doppel caps to all of them. But I wouldn't say, I don't know, man, you've got a big thing about connections. And
reading a lot into it, old girl, boy. Definitely reading a lot into everything.
I think all of these forms, connections, the contents of our garages, they all make for some kind of vocabulary with which is bound to come out when we express stuff. How about that?
Well, thank you much. Do you have to get going now?
I've got a leg. I've got to do sound check. I've got to do these photos. Otherwise, I'm a very, very upset family who are going to miss their Canadian connection. And I don't want that.
Well, thank you very much, Carl of the...
Libertines.
And doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Doot-doot.
Okay, how did your bandmate do? How did your bandmate do there? How was the explanations that he gave?
I think his explanations were quite concise and straight to the point in that he didn't really have much of an answer to give you for anything.
Is that usual of Carl?
That's pretty much usual of all of us.
Well, how about the Canadian connections? How about the garage rock connections? Are there any?
There are none really at all. It's very, very tentative. Very, very, very tentative indeed.
Because you replaced Mr. Razcox in the band. He was like a 70-year-old older guy, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
And what was the deal on Mr. Razcox?
I've not got a clue because I replaced him, you see.
Well, what did you hear about him? You must have heard something about him.
I heard as much as you did, but he was just an older guy who played drums with him when the guys were in their skiffle movement, when they were sounding a little bit like...
Lonnie Donegan.
Exactly.
In the early days with the Libertines. Libertines. So, Gary, looking at the Libertines, you're there in the back. You are the drummer, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
And you're seeing the whole band sweat it out, aren't you?
Yeah.
Now, is it true that they actually take sweat pills before they go on stage, like salt pills, so that they actually sweat more?
Sweat pills? Who the hell said that?
Rocker Jackie Wilson, R&B star Jackie Wilson, years ago took sweat pills, so he looked really good on stage. And I'm wondering, do you notice any sweat pills there?
Well, if he wanted to look really good on stage, that's giving me the impression that he kind of looked good in the first place, whereas we're just us guys. We don't really care, to be honest. Couldn't give a dog's asshole.
Because that look that Carl's pioneered is very interesting, isn't it? Where he's got the shirt off and he's got the tie on him. I like this, like, almost Chippendale-ish. That's a very interesting look.
I'm going to have to tell him you call him a Chippendale. He'll love that.
Well, I didn't quite call him a Chippendale.
He's quite Chippendale-ish. The next thing we need, we just need to turn around and wiggle his ass, everybody. Don't even bother looking, man. I got no ass. I sit in my ass all day.
I mean, that's the thing about the Libertines. I mean, you don't have really any dress code. You just go for it. I mean, taking a shirt off, wearing a tie, nobody would have done that a few years ago in the British rock scene, would they?
We're not the stereotypical rock band that, like, has to have, like, a uniform or such, like maybe a leather jacket, black jeans, winkle picker shoes, a T-shirt, and a gruff look on the face that says, "Hi, we're rock and roll." Couldn't care less about that, because at the end of the day, we're about the music and goofing around, and I think we do that quite well.
And when you go out and party and stuff, do you get into the karaoke?
Yes, we do. We do like a bit of karaoke.
What's your favorite song? I heard you did some karaoke in Japan with Franz Ferdinand. You did Final Countdown.
Yes, we did. We did a Final Countdown, and it was hilarious. And that's one of my favorite songs as well. The final... No more.
How can you make karaoke hilarious? Like, it's hard because everybody wants to get into karaoke. How do you make it hilarious?
It's quite simple, really. Just get really, really quite bangered. That's drunk for you Canadians. Just get absolutely bangered. And then eat a bit of food as well to make sure you don't hurl. And then throw food around and then sing until you get thrown out.
What other jams have there been with other bands? I think you guys also had something with Franz Ferdinand in Bologna in Italy. I think Carl did some songs with Alex with Franz Ferdinand.
Yes, that was in the backstage food area. And everybody was just sat down. There was a whole bunch of people from different bands, and everybody was hanging out, congregating together. It was a congregation of rock music. And Franz Ferdinand, dude, Alex and Carl were playing guitar. And
for the Beatles, 8 days a week or
yeah,
something
exactly.
like that.
Yeah.
Are those like one, two, and the road experiences with Franz Ferdinand, are they right up there? Or are they right up there with the Libertines, one, two?
We don't really categorize anybody. I mean, if people are nice, then that's good enough for us. Anybody, that is. Anybody can be nice. There's no difference between us, Franz Ferdinand, and the people that come to see our shows or anybody else. If you're a nice person, we'll hang out with you and we'll do karaoke with you as well if you came to do it.
Gary of the Libertines, yeah. How do you avoid the press? How do you avoid the press? How do you avoid... Oh, no, not quite. Please come back, Gary. Oh, this nice... Oh, wow. Wow. Wow, I don't have to run. That's where I said, please come back, and you actually came back.
Sorry.
No, I'm like, but how? So is that a way to avoid the press then?
I don't avoid the press. I mean, I just...
But like tips for avoiding the tabloids. You know what I mean?
I mean, anybody that deems they have to avoid the press, I think they're stepping into the realms of delusion of grandeur. Anyway, if you don't want to do it, then just don't do it. Say, I'm not going to do it, and ignore them.
But tips for avoiding the tabloids, like you're walking out and everybody's taking your photo. Do you do anything like to your face or anything that makes it they won't publish the photo? Or have you ever done any fun little gags?
I think I've done enough to my face for me not to do anything like that. No, nobody does that to me anyway. We've got to remember I'm the drummer. I sit in the back. Most people don't even recognize me. In fact, I'm sure that a lot of people be looking at this who know of the band will not recognize me anyway.
But you like it that way, don't you?
Absolutely.
Well, what about you singing one and coming out front and doing like the Peter, Chris, Beth thing?
No, I'm going to come out and sing some Carpenters. Calling occupants of interplanetary crafts. I'm the best singer in the band anyway, so. I didn't just say that. That was really, really wrong.
What do you think, Gary? Any press, good press? Is any press, good press?
No.
No. What is bad press and what is good press?
Well, bad press is anything that is derogatory to yourself or your band. And good press is anything that's positive about your band. Any bad press that will actually sell and actually get people interested in your band is still bad press, because if anything was to happen to your band, the last thing that they would actually remember would be those derogatory comments regarding your band, regardless of how good your music is or your initial intent as a band or an individual.
Does bad press equal good sales?
Possibly it does. I'm sure in a way that it does, because I'm sure there'll be a quasi-random sample of people who will actually check out the bad press, who will be interested in reading the tabloids and figuring out what's actually going on in the world of whatever, who will then decide to themselves, you know, that's kind of interesting. I may go out and buy that particular product or that particular piece of item, clothing, thing, whatever it is that they're actually interested in. You know, it may actually make a decision with reference to actually going to buy something. But I think that's only a very small sample of people that would actually do that. I'm certainly not going to do it. Are you going to do that?
Well, I always go to those listening booths, and I always see, like, Libertines, and I see you in the paper, so I want to listen to you. So, yes, it works.
Okay. Maybe I'm wrong.
Gary of the Libertines, winding up here. Do you have any harsh words for Lady Tron, the band Lady Tron?
Fuck off. No, I haven't got anything harsh to say of them. They're nice guys.
Didn't they kind of interfere with your American debut performance at Coachella in 2003? They went overtime, so you guys got cut short?
No, they just wanted to do what they wanted to do. And anybody wants to do what they want to do. Remember, we're Libertines. We're free thinkers. We believe in the Arcadia and the Good Ship Albion. And, you know, everybody has to do whatever they want to do in order to actually get to the land of Arcadia. And they decided that they should actually play their whole set, irrespective of the problems that were happening for them doing their set, which is fair enough as far as I'm concerned.
That's very nice of you to give them such props there.
Hey, they're nice guys.
You turned something negative into something positive.
Just like poo.
Because it was kind of a downer, Coachella. Like Coachella Festival, your American debut, and then you don't get to play.
It was hilarious when they cut off the power. I thought it was so, so funny. It was great. I went to a party right after, so it was no big deal to me.
And what happened? Like, Pete and Carl went pretty crazy, though, on stage, didn't they?
No.
They threw a few guitars, or that's just a usual night for libertines, isn't it?
Maybe Pete throws a few guitars. Carl actually likes playing them, so he doesn't actually throw them that much.
So you're beginning this tour here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, all across North America, right now, Gary.
Yes.
You're into it right now.
Phileas Fogg.
Who are you going to bump into? Is Harmar Superstar going to come to your gigs? Because he always goes to all the gigs, doesn't
he? Hopefully, because Harmar's a real cool guy.
Help me understand Harmar.
I want to see Cameron Diaz.
Help me understand Harmar Superstar. He goes to all the gigs, doesn't he? He's at all the gigs. He's a goodwill ambassador for rock and roll, isn't he?
See this? This is a crisp packet, or a chip packet, as you guys would call it. This is Harmar. He goes to the opening of them. If one opens up, Harmar will go there. He's a party boy. He likes to go out and party. And if there are good people around that he likes to hang out with, he'll go and party with them as well.
And he's like and everywhere.
I want to.
Is there anybody else that will come out?
Sorry?
Is there anybody else that will come out, Gary? Like, do you think? Like, does Harmar's... Who is the British Harmar? Is there a British Harmar? Is there an equivalent?
Queens of Noise. Have you heard of the Queens of Noise?
No, I haven't.
Some DJ friends of ours, Mairead and Tabitha. They DJ at this place called the Barfly on a Friday night in Camden. And they're just really good time girls that like to DJ. Occasionally put out the odd record, but they're a little bit mad and zany. And they kind of, we hang out with them, they hang out with us. We all hang out together, we hang out with Harmar. Harmar hangs out with somebody else who then possibly hangs out with us, who will then refer us to somebody else who will then hang out with, who will then I may have to look after their cat on a Saturday night so I won't be able to hang out. But then I'll call somebody else and they'll hang out with them, who will then hang out with Harmar, who will hang out with Mairead and Tabitha.
Who will tell two friends and so on and so on and so on and so on.
Have it, yeah.
You just mentioned you'd want to bump into Cameron Diaz. Didn't Roland Bolin come to one of your gigs? Mark Bolin's son? That's pretty wild.
Yeah, he's a friend of mine. Roland's cool. I just had a text from his younger brother, actually. I'll show you my text.
A text message?
Yes.
From a Bolin clan?
From a Bolin clan.
Because, do you know there's a connection there right now under your shoulder to the Bolin family? Do you know that? Because on the Nuggets box set...
I haven't read it.
On the Nuggets box set... What Mark Bolin was in the band John's was Children.
Was he?
Garage Connection.
Was he?
So you guys are Garage.
Honestly?
You guys are Garage. You are down with the Garage.
I'm showing you something, man. Stop interrupting me.
Well, I'm just trying to explain.
I'm trying
to give some running commentary. Maybe you could explain to the people here, winding up, what you're doing here, Gary, of Libertines.
Bert's half-brother, Birdie. No, Roland's half-brother, Birdie. And he sent me a text message saying, yo, Gare-Bam, how's it going? On the road. With Harmar.
No!
Hit me when you get back. Yes.
This is amazing! Harmar plays into that. That's almost psychicness, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's Mark Bolin's son? Is he Mark Bolin's son or grandson?
No, it's Mark Bolin's wife's son.
Has he recollected any Bolin stories at all?
No, he hasn't, no. And I haven't asked him, to be honest. I mean, I think if you know, with reference to, like, people in different bands or different scenarios, if they have any stories to tell, then that I should give them, or people should actually give them the opportunity to tell them, instead of actually forcing them into a corner and asking them those stories, like you're doing with me.
I'm sorry, Gary, but I just lastly wanted to know about your jackets. Are they really Crimean War jackets? You have those cool jackets. Are they really Crimean War?
I gave them to my grandmother.
And do you guys really not like the adverts?
What adverts?
The adverts. The band, the adverts. One Chord Wonder.
I thought you were talking about the adverts. I was talking about what adverts? Don't be so vague, man. There are so many adverts on TV.
Because like you were saying, you know, like the Jam, yes, the adverts, no. I've heard you guys say that.
I've never said that. I don't even know.
You had to defend the other guys in the band before. You know, like, I'm getting mad at you for not liking the adverts.
No. They say whatever they want. It's a free country. Free world.
What do you think, lastly here, Gary, about Batman on Buckingham Palace? Did you see that in the news?
I think that's quite admirable, but I don't like the idea of him going on Buckingham Palace. Because let's face it, what's the Queen going to do? She's just a figurehead. That's just showing off.
But what about all the photo shoots and stuff that happened outside of Buckingham Palace?
I don't particularly like that either.
So you just don't like the Buckingham Palace illusion at all?
No, not really.
Where should have Batman gone? Like, if I'm Batman and I want to go somewhere to cause a stir in London, where would I go?
Come to my house. We could have watched some films and drank some beers and it would have been really, really funny.
Any other things you'd like to say to the people out there at all, Gary of the Libertines?
Hello? I don't know. God, stop putting me on the spot, man. Jeez.
Well, Gary, why should people care about the Libertines? Why should people care?
Because they want to if they don't care about the Libertines. I like people's honesty, and if people think that we suck, then they should come up to me, maybe not so much anyone else in the band, but they can come up to me and say that we suck. That's fine, I don't care.
What would happen if they came up to the other people in the band?
The other guys in the band would probably cry, which wouldn't be very nice, but I'm not really particularly that bothered. Well, we can't please everybody, can we? There's going to be a shitload of people out there that don't like us, and there'll be possibly even more people that think we absolutely fucking suck. So, fine, I don't care.
Well, thanks so much, Gary, of Deliber... 17th. Keep on rocking in the free world and doot doodaloo doo.
Keep on rocking doot doot. Oh, God, you're crazy, gringo.
With understanding, don't be sad. 101.9 CITR presents
Shindig 2004,
a battle of the bands extravaganza, Tuesdays at the Railway Club.
On October 26th, come out to see Cadeau, Kajira, and the Scott-O-Matics.
On November 2nd, Abyss, the Mentally Ill-Equipped, and Vancouver.
And on November 9th, Bella, the Casanova Playboys, and Relying on the Mountain.
As well, check out the semifinals number 1 on November 16th, featuring Dandy Wind, The Little Death, and Evil Hearted.
Shindig 2004, Tuesdays at the Railway Club, 579 Dunsmuir Street. Presented by Mushroom Studios, Bogwell Recordings, The Hive Studios, Rumble Tone Productions, Precision Sound, and Red Cap Ale.
For more information, visit www.citr.ca.
Scissor Sisters.
And who are you individually? Please introduce yourself, Scissor Sister.
I'm Jake Shears.
And my name is Anna Matronic.
Now, Anna, is it true that your bandmate here, Jake, has his underwear on eBay?
Oh, yes, he did. And
I didn't put it on eBay,
he didn't put it on eBay. The fan, the supposedly huge fan he signed it for, put it on eBay.
What I was wondering is, Anna, is can you identify Jake's underwear? Like, how do we know it's Jake's underwear?
Well, I can. A, it will be incredibly cheap.
Yep, I wear very cheap underwear.
And it will look a little bit bigger than his actual person, because Jake is a small guy, and I find that even small men's underwear looks
big on me.
Quite big on you.
Yeah, I do a lot of shopping in like German 99-cent bargain bins. For underwear, and usually I do take pride in my hideous pants.
So for all the people out there, the fake underwear looks like.
Like
the fake, like the real stuff you just described, the real stuff. What would be the fake Scissor Sisters underwear?
Dolce and Gabbana underwear, anything with a really fancy schmancy name or anything attached to it.
Yeah.
Well, Jake's underwear anyway.
Yeah.
So, Scissor Sisters Jake, I was wondering, is it true you always travel with a Speedo?
No. Actually, I gave up Speedos.
But isn't there some sort of thing that you were talking about, how, like, you always got to travel with a Speedo, because you never know, at some party you may have to whip it out.
I used to have Speedos around a lot more, I think. I've kind of changed to, like, little, kind of sheer Adidas running shorts are kind of my... I like lounging around in those a lot more. I'm finding them a lot more sexy than Speedos.
But weren't there some stories that you talked about? I read in an interview somewhere where somebody was talking about you, how you were at a party, and it was time to go swimming, and, boom, there was a Speedo. You must have brought the Speedo along.
Oh, I have been known to bring Speedos to parties, yeah. Especially if there's a jacuzzi. I'm the first in the hot tub.
And you were Jake and...
Anna.
Of the Scissor...
Sisters.
And I wondered about the Scissor Sisters. I thought, I wonder what they can help me with. And I thought, maybe they can help me with my fashion. And maybe they can help me identify what I am wearing right here. And I am wearing this... I don't know if you can see, but this is... I whip this thing... right here. What is this shirt that I'm wearing? This thing right here.
Wow.
This sweater. Can you guys identify it? I think it's like some sort of New Yorkian thing.
Wow.
Do you guys have any idea about this?
Well, you know, it's so funny. There was my sister and I yesterday were talking about Wham fashions, because Wham used to have a... this is...
Like, look at the label. No New York.
Yeah, it's like you've got Elvis Costello, and this looks like Buddy Holly. I'm not sure who that is.
A friend of mine bought this at a thrift store in Vancouver, and she thought it might have been from, like, New York in the 80s. And, I mean, have you seen lots of this designer stuff? Is this possibly one of the coolest things you've
seen? That is honestly one of the coolest cardigan things I've ever seen.
And it's like, mass-produced. You saw the label. Like, see the label in there? I'm making Jake touch me here, but, like, what's the label?
No New York.
No New York. And was it say for the size?
One size fits most.
Yes. So, is
this
stuff...
I like that. That's very egalitarian.
How hard is it to find stuff like this in New York? Is it everywhere?
Impossible.
Really? You don't see any of it?
I've never seen anything like that in my life.
New York, as far as, like, finding cool vintage clothes and thrift store shopping and stuff, you gotta go to, like... You know, the boondocks. Like, we were just in Salt Lake City and some thrift store, and, like, it was like a gold mine, you know. I got this amazing, look at this keychain I got with a...
So puppy.
It's a photograph of a poodle and some woman's hands. You can see an elderly woman's hands cupping the small teacup poodle. Which I find this is a kind of like a symbol of mortality, because I'm sure the person holding the dog is dead, and the dog is probably dead as well. But I thought it was kind of a beautiful thing.
That was a great find.
It was a great find.
Now, also, Scissor Sisters, I'm wearing some other thing that represents the Scissor Sisters, which I think is unrepresented in rock and roll, not the hair, but the you're in the suspenders.
Love suspenders,
well,
yeah.
And we also love chest hair, which you have copious amounts of as well.
I wasn't trying to display that, but the suspenders and rock and roll.
Yeah.
Like, there are not many people, like Rob Halford, he did them great, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I like the thin braces for me, and then Baby Daddy does the more thick suspenders.
You don't like the thick ones?
I do like them, but they're more for Baby Daddy, definitely. Like
Baby Daddy, your bandmate. So, Scissor Sisters, you analyze what I'm wearing, you know, the suspenders and the sweater. Thanks for trying to help identify it. Yeah. How about yourself, Jake? You've had some pretty low-riding pants.
Yeah.
What's your inspiration behind the low-riders?
I don't know. I do wear belts sometimes, but I like hair. I like my belly. I like,
Likes his abs.
I like my abs.
Is there somebody you look towards, like Lux Interior of the band The Cramps?
Remember
him and Erg, A Music War?
Yeah.
We're big Cramps fans. Big
Erg, A Music War?
Of course. And New York Dolls, of course, are a huge inspiration in my life. And I think Jake often gives a little David Johansen style.
Because the Lux Interior Erg, A Music War shot of him wearing those pants, and they're so low, and it's about to...
Yeah.
It's
about to fall off.
Is he rode it that low?
Oh yeah. I've shown lots and lots of pubes.
And also, like Lux Interior, he's worn his incredibly tight trousers with high heels, which is a great look.
It's a really good look. I love, good old Lux. Very inspiring. I've seen the Cramps play probably about 5 times in my lifetime, and it's always been a great show.
And you guys are the Scissor
Sisters.
Now, have you heard about the Scissor Girls at all?
We have.
Absolutely, yeah. Scissor Girls. They right when we started Scissor Sisters, we heard about the Scissor Girls, and I actually met one of the Scissor Girls.
Oh, really?
At a Deitch Gallery party in New York. We ended up hung out with one of them.
They're pretty amazing too. Like, they dressed up totally. Like, they look like raccoons sometimes.
I've never heard the Scissor Girls music really.
Mm-mm.
How is it?
It's very inspiring. Very sort of Chicago-ing.
Oh, yeah. Why didn't they tour with Liz Phair? So it's that very sort of like aggressive.
They played their first gig opening for Liz Phair, or Liz Phair opened for them, or something like that.
Yeah.
Fancy.
So let's move on here, Scissor Sisters, to My Life with the...
Thrill Kill Cult.
Thrill Kill Cult. Now, I was researching My Life with the...
Thrill Cult.
And I found out that most My Life with the...
Thrill Kill Cult.
Fan...
Boys.
Fanboys, yes. That they are old goths. who love Satan.
Yeah, absolutely.
So does that symbolize the Scissor Sisters? You guys are old goths that love Satan?
A little bit, I think.
A tiny bit. We've got a goth edge, definitely. Jake has some goth. One of my favorite bands in the world is Susie and the Banshees. I'm a huge Susie fan. And Del, our guitar player, has a serious goth edge to him.
We are a little bit goth at heart.
Yeah, and we're not ashamed.
Thrill Kill Cult is an incredible band, totally underrated, I think.
Have you ever seen them live?
About 30 times.
Is it true you have to wear sunglasses when you see them because their bright lights are so bright?
No, I'll tell you something really funny. Last time I saw Thrill Kill Cult was about a year and a half ago almost in New York City, and I was wearing an Adidas baseball cap and a white t-shirt and blue jeans, and it was at Don Hills in New York, and I was up front with the gothiest goths you've ever seen, and for somehow Groovy Man, the lead singer of Thrill Kill, fixated on me the whole show, and throughout the show stripped himself of all of his jewelry and gave it all to me.
Are you wearing any of it today?
Not today, no, but I do have all that. It was an amazing moment. It was very weird. It was almost as if he remembered me from when I was a teenager. I used to follow them around the West Coast when they toured. I mean, I've seen them so many times. But it was really an amazing moment because I was dressed like a schmo, you know what I mean? I didn't look like goth at all. And
maybe he knew you were the true fan.
You
were not the poser.
No, he probably knew I was a true fan because I was singing along to every single lyric coming
out. You were like a mirror.
Yeah.
And you guys are the Scissor
Sisters.
And you're here in Vancouver. Now, do you guys have your own name for Vancouver? I heard you came up with your own name.
We use Vancouver. You know what? I do have to preface this. I went to high school in Vancouver,
Washington,
and we like to call it the Couve in
the
Vancouver.
Couve. I like
that's the Couve. But anyway,
there was another name that you brought up when you played here last time.
We do like to. I think Vancouver is a great alternate word for vagina, as in she.
Show me your Vancouver, baby.
Yeah.
And they showed you your Vancouver.
Yes, or their Vancouver.
There's a great deal of beavers in this part of the world.
It's like a mix between vagina and beaver. It's like your Vancouver.
Yeah, it's good.
What's interesting?
And cooch.
Yeah, all of that, all rolled into one not very offensive word.
Exactly.
And Scissor Sisters, do you realize that Long John Baldry, not Long Dong, but Long John Baldry lives in Vancouver now?
Oh, my gosh, I have no idea.
And you know who Long John Baldry is?
No.
He's the guy that discovered Elton
John.
He's the guy that discovered Elton John, a Canadian connection.
Amazing.
Wow. How about
you guys
that?
Did some Elton Johning, didn't you?
We did. And yeah.
And there's some more Canadian connections there. Did you get to meet Elton John's Canadian boyfriend?
Yes, we did.
We did meet his Canadian boyfriend.
Now, what was he like, and did he say he was from Canada?
He did not mention that he was from Canada at that moment, no, but he was very, very nice.
What was it like doing stuff with Elton John? He was on the news. Did you see that news clip of him recently?
I haven't seen it, but I heard that
he was yelling out, "You rude, vile pig," to people while wearing a tracksuit. He was walking in an elevator going, "You rude, vile pig." And I thought, that's a compliment, isn't it?
Yeah.
To like the media, to people chasing him with, oh, well, you know.
You rude, vile pig. Good. I think that's awesome.
He's amazing. He's been so great to us and is a lot of fun to hang around. And I love being around him and talking with him.
But was he wearing a tracksuit when you guys were hanging with him? Because he didn't look the best.
He was. Yes, he was.
Tracksuit.
I think
it was
like a Yoji Yamamoto tracksuit.
He didn't look too good on TV in the tracksuit.
Oh, he looks great in person.
That's his you know, leisure wear. So, you know, he was trying to be at leisure, and I think people were pestering him.
It's brilliant. When, you know, he comes out, and when he's performing now, his encores, he comes out in the tracksuit, which I love.
Oh, does he?
Yes, he comes out. He comes out in the tracksuit for his encore, which I think is so hot, with a big diamond necklace. It's not big, actually. It's little. You have to kind of get up close to see it. That just says, "Fuck off," across it, in diamonds.
And then he's got a Vivian Westwood sort of phallus earring dangling from his ear, which
he's fierce.
Also very quite subversive.
So rude, vile pig, is that a compliment if he likes, you know, having "fuck off" on his chest and stuff like that?
I don't know. If Elton called me a rude, vile pig, I'd... I'd probably cry.
It's a compliment.
No, I wouldn't be crying out of happiness. I'd be kind of sad, actually.
I think it all depends on the intonation in which you say rude, vile pig, because you could say, oh, you're just a rude, vile pig. And that's, you know, that sounds all nice and stuff.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You Scissor Sisters have it real good, don't you?
Well, for the most part.
Yeah. I love this quote, Jake. Tonight I get to meet Peter Gabriel.
Oh, yeah,
that's what you said, like, I get to meet. I love that. I get to meet.
Yeah.
Like, you appreciate it. Like, tonight I get to meet Peter Gabriel.
Oh, my God. And he was so nice. He was such a and he put on a great show. We got to play with him in France on the side of this beautiful river, which I think I called a lake in front of the audience, and they were very happy.
Oh, it wasn't a lake?
No.
Oh, it was a river?
Yeah.
I mean, Elton John, tonight I get to meet Peter Gabriel, and then Bono kissed your ring?
Well, he said, that's what he said. He didn't actually kiss my ring.
He kissed your hand.
He kissed my hand, yes. And he was very nice. Yeah. And I thought to myself, you know, what? I'm supposed to be kissing your ring. You're the Pope of Rock and Roll. Come on, man.
So all these people are so nice, some of these uber celebs, but then Kylie let you down a bit, didn't she, Jake?
How?
I thought she axed your tracks. They were going to be on her album.
Don't believe everything you read. They just announced that it is the first, it's the next single.
No!
Yes.
Scissor Sister.
Yeah.
Are you part of that too, Anna?
I sadly have not met Kylie yet.
What? Why?
Well,
why?
It's Jake and Baby Daddy, who are the main production team of Scissor Sisters. They were in the studio with Kylie, and you know, I think she would probably just make my inferiority complex soar with her tiny perfection.
She's a lovely woman. She's
hold her in my hand.
Jake doesn't like to share then.
No, not really.
Very sharing, sharing.
So the tracks are back on. Kylie and Scissor Sisters are back on.
Yeah.
They're not off.
Catico.
Parlophone just announced that they're releasing it as her Christmas single. Very excited. Yeah, that was just rumors.
Oh, winding up here, Scissor Sisters, you guys played the cock. Is that true? You really played the cock?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, we played the cock in New York and London.
There's a London cock too?
There is, inspired by the New York cock.
And was there a fat cock too?
Yes, there was a fat cock.
Which I used to go dance at the fat cock, actually.
And you know the guy who used to run the fat cock, I just saw in an ad for Listerine, those little strip things. And he's like on a woman's shoulder, sleeping like this.
Who's that?
Mario.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So when you were go-go dancing, what sort of things did you do? Did you once go-go dance with, like, live sharks in a pool? That sounds pretty scary.
I did. You know, there was a cute go-go dancer in the shark tank, and I took off my clothes and got in the shark tank with him.
Like, so that's going far, isn't it?
Jake will go all the way.
I wasn't working that night, really. I was just having fun.
But that's pretty wild. What are your tips for people for being, quote, a go-go dancer, a stripper? Like, how did you earn the most money?
Just going for it and just dancing and having fun and not necessarily being lewd or lascivious or, you know, or what am I looking for?
Distasteful.
Yeah, I was always very I always kept it wholesome and, like, you know, and I think that's almost sexier sometimes than going the full Monty, you know, like.
Speaking of the full Monty, Boy George, you guys must have run into him. I think he's come to some of your gigs.
Yeah, he's come to our gigs, and I've hung out with him in New York a couple times.
I wanted to do an interview with him, but they wouldn't let me. They said he was too shy. Is he really too shy?
He's a little bit shy. He's really a nice guy. I think he's great. He's been living in New York for a while, and I've always enjoyed hanging around
him. Did he really do it with the guy from Bush, Gavin from Bush?
Oh, I don't know.
That was the rumor, you know, in that book, that he actually did it with the guy from Bush.
I'm not sure. More power to him if he did. That's cool. Sure. I wonder if Gwen was in on it.
Hot.
And you guys are Islanders, aren't you? Well, kind of Islanders. You're a Vancouver, Washington Islander, kind of. But you're an Islander, aren't you?
Samoan Island, Friday Harbor, right across the you know, the channel.
Canadian connection. Now, what other sort of Islanders are there? Like the professor from Gilligan's Island. Yeah. I know he lives on Bainbridge Island.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Does he really?
Yeah, Bainbridge. Not to be confused with Friday Harbor.
Yeah, not to be confused. What other Islanders are there? What was the question?
What are other Islanders? Are you the only one? Are you Friday Harbor's favorite son?
Right now I am. We played in Seattle last night, and it was like, oh, there was a whole, half the island came down to see the show, which was really amazing.
Well, and Jake lives on an island now, a Manhattan island.
Exactly.
There has never been a gay rocker who was out before they were famous. Is that true?
Joe Bryath is probably the only one.
Joe Bryath.
But he wasn't very successful, sadly.
Yeah, Joe Bryath flopped. I don't know. Is that true?
Yeah, that's what I was reading about you guys. Like, people were writing about you saying, there has never been a gay rocker who was out before they were famous, and it's up to the Scissor Sisters to kind of lead the way for that. And I thought, wow.
That it could be a first. If it is, that's a cool thing.
I'm and, like, that they're test marketing you in the UK. That's what they said. They're test... Is that true?
No. They... I wouldn't say test marketing at all. Polydor, when they picked us up, they knew exactly what they were doing. They did take a risk with us, but it was a chance that they fully committed to, and they did an amazing job in the UK.
Yeah, and that's where we signed our record deal, was in England. So the record came out there first. And I think, you know, the American record labels were apprehensive about what to do with us, because they don't, you know, a lot of our songs sound different from one another. We've got a very sort of wide-ranging musical style, and so they didn't really know what to do with us, so they kind of wanted to see how it went in England before they brought it over here. So, you know, that's why it came out here 6 months
after.
Yeah, but
really, I mean, we just signed to a British record label first off, and that's why it ended up coming out in the UK first.
Well, winding up here, a couple quick questions. Just one last thing. I was just wondering, you mentioned living in Manhattan Island now, right? Manhattan Island or Long Island or one of those islands. Did you once live in a weird theater sort of thing? I was reading about that.
Yeah, crazy. I don't know how this stuff. It's like, yeah.
You're a good researcher.
You're a good
researcher.
I don't even know this stuff comes out. Yeah, I lived in this weird underground kind of basement apartment that used to be a black box theater on Bleecker Street.
I just was fascinated by it, like underground theaters. Is there a lot of stuff like that in New York?
So, yeah, you can. People live.
I thought that was the Giuliani-ized. They got rid of all those neat sort of theaters.
You can try. I'm sure there's a lot of things left over that even Giuliani couldn't find. You know.
Yeah. There was no windows in this place, and it had been a black box theater. And I lived in this room with two other guys. And they had built these walls, but they didn't go to the ceiling. So it was like we all had these like cubicles in this place. It was actually.
Were any movies still around?
Movies.
Like, what sort of theater was it?
I don't know what kind of. I mean, it wasn't working. The theater had long been gone.
There wasn't any old remnants of anything lying around.
Oh yeah, there was. There was the whole pulley system in there that was still in the place.
So it was probably a live theater. You didn't find any like old prints of Deep Throat lying around or anything.
No, it was alive. It wasn't a movie theater. It was like an actual. They put on plays, but there was still like a whole, you know, pulley system that was like
that could be useful for some fun, eh?
Totally, yeah.
Scissor Sisters, winding up here, I'm going to be doing an interview shortly with Franz Ferdinand.
Yeah.
I have heard that they are number one and you're number two, but they're only number one because of their Scottish accents.
Maybe. Well, they do come from Scotland, so people, you know, people do feel very, you know, prideful for Franz Ferdinand over there.
Do you have any questions or messages I would like that I could pass on to Franz Ferdinand?
Well, you know, I've recently gifted, because I believe that Nick from Franz Ferdinand looks a great deal like Agent Cooper from Twin Peaks. And I'm a big Twin Peaks fan, and we recently gifted them the series on DVD. And so you should ask him if he's seen episode 2, because last time I saw them, he said, you've got to see episode 2. Episode 2, it's all about episode 2. And dreams of
we love those guys.
Yeah. How about the Libertines? They're also coming to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Have you had any secret messages to the Libertines? You ever met them before?
I had an experience with Pete Doherty once. He's not with them at this moment. But send them our love, please. I'm glad that they're still touring and going for it. It's a good thing.
You can let them know if they ever need hugs that we're here for them.
Yeah.
You have great stage banter, and I wanted to leave with this quote. And Anna, I'm not sure if you said it or Jake said it or somebody else said it. If you have no room to wiggle your ass, jump up and down like you're chewing gum between your butt cheeks and blow some bubbles if you want.
Yeah.
I believe that was me. Yes. Yeah. It comes from a joke that was a very sort of gross joke. Involving a diet, and instead of putting everything in your mouth, putting it in the other end. And she goes to the doctor, and the doctor, she's like, there's no side effects. And he's like, why are you bouncing him down? She's like, oh, I'm just chewing gum.
Well, thanks so much, Scissor Sisters. Anything else you want to add to the people out there at all?
Anna?
Why should people care about the Scissor Sisters? Why should people care?
Because we care about you.
Because we are pro-Orca, and we vote.
Well, thanks for my Scissor Sisters. Keep on rocking in the free world, and do-do-do-loo-doo.
Do-do.
left my heart in San Francisco. Just a motherfucking disco. The people there were dancing on it. Pasadena, where all them girls are doing Dina. The bitches show is going to fun. I said I'd rather smoke some chronic. Yeah, the music is a victim, so am I. I love it, and the cheating, the things go by. I'll beg and scream and I cuss and I cry. If the music is a victim, so am I. It's your best fun. Money's all gone, but you need some. Houston, Texas, just before he finished breakfast, he said, oh baby, buy some more eggs, but I was running on my own two legs. Well, if Jesus had the power, then so do I do. Rising from the dead and take up to the sky, I'm fighting for the money that I get by. And if music is a victim, then so am I. So have fun, money's all gone, but you need some.
It's that time of year for Western North America's premier New Media Arts Festival. It's bigger and more dynamic than ever. The 2004 New Forms Festival begins October 14th and runs until October 28th. This year's festival features more than 70 speakers, musicians, installation and net artists, performance artists, video artists, DJs and dancers from North America and around the world. With 9 venues to choose from, including Open Studios, Video In Studios, Western Front, Vancouver Art Gallery, The Electra Building, Roundhouse Community Arts and Recreation Center, Bar Hall Art Center, Center A, and Surrey Art Gallery. With musical performers like Gold Chains and Sioux City, Girl Talk, Kit Clayton, Matthew Johnson, Fono, Vitamins For You, Cal Malka, Valley Village People, Bruno Ponsanto, and many, many more. Each night designed to please. For more info, please check www.newformsfestival.com, and tickets are available via the internet, Fire Hall Box Office, Scratch, Zulu, and Active Pass.
Careful wherever you go, while out to play or going to and fro. just whatever you do, cause someone might take advantage of you.
It's okay to say no. Go ahead and let your feelings show.
Hi everyone, this is your My Body is My Own read-along and coloring book. Every time you hear this chime, it means it's time to turn the page in your book. When you finish listening to the story, talk about it with your mom and dad. Then you can go back and color the pictures. Are you ready to begin? Remember to turn the page each time you hear the chime. Every year when my birthday comes, I look at myself extra special carefully.
Gee, Billy, do you think I look like I've changed much since last year? I think I have.
Me too.
I have a head with too much hair. At least that's what my mom says.
Susie, I can hardly get this brush through your hair to brush out your ponytails. Your hair's grown so much.
I have a chest and two arms to pound it with when I play King Kong.
Well, Susie, I don't know if the real King Kong would recognize that call. It sounded more like Tarzan to me.
I have a waist and a belly button. My belly button's an innie, and my brother's is an outie.
My belly button goes in like a cup, Billy.
Yeah, and mine pops out like a button. Is that because I'm a boy and you're a girl?
No, silly. That's just the way the doctor happens to tie them right after we're born.
I have private parts on the front and the back of me.
My private parts are starting to change. I really do notice it when I look in a mirror.
My private parts are like my mom's, and my brother's are like my dad's.
You look like Daddy, Jimmy, only smaller.
And you look like Mommy, Susie, and you're smaller, too.
I have long legs, long feet, and long toes.
Daddy says I'm a real American beauty, but I think I've got a long way to go.
My best friend Jacqueline has short legs, short feet, and short toes.
Well, my daddy says good things come in small packages.
Best of all, I have a body that is my own and no one else's.
I belong to me, and I like it that way.
Me too!
I know that my body belongs to me, and I can choose who touches it.
My body is special. I can say yes, touch me, or no, don't touch me.
And I think
just a little bit more. Changes are taking place right before my eyes. I'm getting a little bit taller and hopefully a little more wise. I'm pretty choosy about the people who touch me. My body is important and I love it, can't you see? Very special ways. Things are changing each and every day. I'm beginning to see things I never saw before. No parts have been added. There's just a little bit more.
Someone wants to pat my bottom, I can tell them not to.
Hey, don't do that. You can't touch my private parts.
If someone picks my brother up, he can tell them to put him down.
I don't like to be picked up. Please put me down.
If someone wants me to kiss them, I can say no. I don't want to.
No, Aunt Ruthie, none of that mushy stuff. I don't like your red lipstick getting all over me.
If someone touches my brother in a way he doesn't like, he can tell them to stop.
I don't want to hug Uncle Louie. Put me down, please. That doesn't feel good.
I know there is a difference between good touches and bad touches.
Whee, Grandpa! Your piggyback rides are fun!
Good touches make me feel happy and warm.
I love you when you come to visit us for your vacation, Cousin Carol.
Bad touches are confusing and make me feel weird.
Come here, Susie. You remember me? Your daddy's friend, Henry?
No, don't!
Bad touches are ones I like to tell about. Sometimes it makes me feel better.
Mommy, Daddy's friend hugged me and rubbed me in a private part. I didn't like it.
A good touch is when Grandma holds me in her lap and reads me a story.
And then the little rabbit got into the lettuce patch.
I like snuggling with you, Grandma.
Yep, that's a good touch.
Good touch!
I've got you now, Susie. Come on, I'm only playing. Don't struggle. I'm bigger and stronger than you.
A bad touch is when someone holds on to me and won't let go. I can say, let me go right now.
You shouldn't do that. That scares me.
If someone picks you up and won't put you down, you just tell them don't do that. If people try to kiss you when they come around, you can tell them don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. No one is supposed to give you that kind of pat. People really love you, then they won't act like that. But if they do, tell them don't do that. Has anybody ever tried to touch your rear end? If he has, tell him don't do that. He just might tell you that he is your friend. You still can tell him don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. No one is supposed to give you that kind of pat. If people really love you, then they won't act like that. But if they do, tell them don't do that. Tell them don't do that. If someone tries to hold you and won't let you go, you better tell them don't do that. If someone tries to trick you just to hold you close, you can tell them don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. No one is supposed to give you that kind of pat. If people really love you, then they won't act like that. If they do, tell them don't do that. If they touch, hold, kiss, feel, or trick you back, you can tell them don't do that.
CITR presents Sly and Robbie. On Friday, October 29th, at the Commodore Ballroom, Sly and Robbie and the Taxi Connection will be in Vancouver with Tony Rebel, Half Pint, Blue Fox, and Mishka. Sly and Robbie are reggae's ultimate production team. They're behind over 200,000 recordings that have shaped the history of reggae for the last 25 years, from roots to the cutting edge of dub, raga, dancehall, and electronica. They are the original drum and bass, from Black Uhuru to Peter Tosh to their non-stop evolution as a duo. The legendary Sly and Robbie will be in Vancouver on Friday, October 29th at the Commodore Ballroom. Tickets available from Ticketmaster, as well as Vanessa's Hair Suit, Nice and Spicy, Salon Supreme, Rohina's Roti, Caribbean Market, The Patty Shop, and Highlight.
Is when Jacqueline and I hold hands.
I like holding hands, Susie. You're fun. You make me feel good.
I like holding your hand, Jacqueline. You've got soft little hands.
Yep, it sure is.
Another good touch!
A bad touch is when someone tricks you just so they can touch you.
Now, here's how we'll play this game. I covered your eyes, and now I'll spin you around. Come.
I can say, please, don't do that anymore.
That was a bad touch. Don't ever touch me that way. Not ever again.
A good touch is when my mom or dad tuck me in and kiss me goodnight.
Good night, Susie. Happy dreams.
Good night, Mommy. Here's a big love hug.
That's one of the really good touches.
Good touches!
A bad touch is when someone wants you to touch their private parts.
Susie, since you're my special friend, come closer for a special treat. I'm going to let you touch me in a special place.
It is never okay to touch someone else's private parts. Your mom and dad will tell you so.
Mr. Green! You know that isn't nice. I'm not supposed to touch anyone like that.
It's not right when somebody's touch hurts you. It's not right. Somebody forces you. It's not right if you're forced to do what you shouldn't do. You can say no and tell them to get away, because you're not about to be treated that way. 'Cause it's not right if somebody forces you. Somebody threatens you. It's not right when you don't know what to do. But no one has the right to make you afraid just because of something you might say. 'Cause it's not right when somebody threatens you. Yeah.